I will open with prayer quickly and turn it over. And thank you for being here. Father, thank you for just the heart and spirit that have been exhibited this morning in this class, the needs that have come up and the hearts to meet different needs. Thank you, Lord, for that and for the way this community, the way you set up community to meet our heartfelt needs through Christ and the Holy Spirit. We're blessed to have Dr. Doriani and Debbie to be here in our midst and sacrificially love us and help us when we most need it. And so we thank you for them and pray for their blessings. And thank you for Dan being here this morning. Speak through him in Christ's name. Amen.
May I just say that this Sunday school class is bigger than 67% of all churches in America? And while I'm giving out statistics, what did they say? 80% of all statistics are made up on the spot. But I thought about that for a minute at the back, so a little more validity. Average church in America, they get different stats, is either 65, 75, or 85 people. And I counted 132 people here. So it's great to have this community within a community. And I'm here basically because of community within a community within a community, which you have. Because last night I didn't realize it, but I was with four different individuals or families from this class. And they said, oh, we lost our teacher. And I said, well, you know, I could come by and say a word. And so they decided after deliberating with, how many elders did you call? 11 elders. And the vote was 7-4. That I would be allowed to speak to you. No, what I decided to do upon request was to give a very short meditation. It would lead to time of sharing. And I'm going to put a couple questions to you. And this is based on Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I invite you to turn, if you would, with me. And I'm just going to do it. I may possibly preach on this next June. So I'm not going to certainly preach a sermon. I just want to walk you through a few basic ideas. And then there are two things you could discuss in this passage. One is, how has God put you in a spot where you had to run with endurance in a place or a lane, to use a running analogy, you didn't necessarily want? That's what this passage discusses. But it also says we run the race, the Christian race set for us, by laying aside sin. So I'm going to read it to you. This is therefore, this is actually a different translation. It's not the ESV, but one very close to it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, I'm going to translate it, testers or testifiers. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of testifiers, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set out before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer or author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. I'm just going to walk you through a few basic statements here. First of all, when we run the Christian race, we do not run alone. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That's really important to distinguish between a cheerleader in the stands who says, well done, young man, young woman. You know, as a grandfather, I go to a volleyball game. Never really played much volleyball. Some, not a lot. I don't realize how hard volleyball can be because I didn't play it competitively. But we're not surrounded by a crowd that knows nothing. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, but the word is actually martyrethentes, from which you might hear the word martyr. Now, the word martyr eventually came to mean someone who's slain for their faith, but what a martyr really means is someone who's willing to witness no matter what. So we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, meaning when we run the Christian life, we're not surrounded by people who are saying, way to go, Ralph, you're just so wonderful. It's by people who ran the race and finished it before us. And they're now with the Lord. And they know how hard it is, and they know how the Lord provides them. So we're not running alone. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. That's point one. Point two is that as we run, as we try to run, there's a way, first of all, we run. It's not an individual race. It's we running together. We run, right? This class, 132 people here today, at least that was my count. It might be off by one or two. We run. We run with each other, and we run with not spectators, but witnesses. We run by throwing off every weight that hinders. Now, if you know anything about running, people do not run in galoshes. They do not run in winter coats. They run in the lightest possible gear that they can, given the temperature and conditions. Because any weight is going to slow you down. But now the weight that slows us down as Christians is sin. Please notice it's not sins. It doesn't say if you commit a whole bunch of more sins, this can make life harder for you. It says sin, meaning any sin we commit can weigh us down. It can be the quietest, humblest, least obvious sin you can imagine. But if it's your sin, it can weigh you down. And so you have to examine your life for your sin so you can run better. Let's see. Who runs? We run. Why do we run? We run because people are not just cheering us on in a vague sense, but because they finished the race and they said, God carried us through and he'll carry you through as well. Number three, we run throwing off every weight. Number four, we run with endurance. Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's as long as you can get. Number five, where do we run? We run the race marked out for us. I don't know if any of you ever noticed, but my wife could be described as diminutive. When I first met her, she was 5'2¼. Now she's 5'1¼. She wishes she were taller. From time to time, I do too. She says, can you come in here and lift this up into this? You know, why did they put the microwave so high? Her height is her height. Now that's minor. Everybody has a race marked out. Everybody has an impediment. Everybody has a burden. But the race that's yours is the one God marked out for you. We run where God put us to run. Where do we run is question number five. Number six is how do we run? We run fixing our eyes on the goal. What's the goal? Our goal is to see and meet Jesus, the author and perfecter or champion and perfecter of our faith. Have any of you run a race like a race that, you know, there was a line at the end and they were giving out prizes? So for who's run a race, actually run a race. All right, very good. And you know that there are people greeting you at the end of the race, aren't there? They may tell you your time. They may tell you placed 11th or 474th if it's a big enough race. They may tell you, you know, where you finished percentile. At the end of our race is Jesus. And he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have finished the course that I set out for you. That's where we're running. We're not running for the top 10%. Everybody's a winner. We run toward Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, which means he's the one that cleared the path. Author basically means trailblazer. Earlier in chapter 2 of Hebrews, it says Jesus slayed, killed, put to death our great enemy, which is the devil, and that cleared the path. So the path is now open. It may be a difficult path, but if you're cross-country runners, you're not running over, you know, bramble bushes that are all over the place. You're not running past wild animals that are trying, you know, there aren't moose on the trail that you have to avoid. The trail's been cleared. You still have to run, and Jesus is the perfecter of our faith, which means we're not just running on our own. Jesus perfects us, right? Now the word perfecter basically means someone who sustains us. So I'm going to tell you a story. Now, if I preach the sermon on this, it'll be three times longer. Don't remember this story because it's a really good story. And I want it to be fresh if I cover it in June. Okay. So I want you to listen and strike it from your mind. So years ago, we were members of a community pool and we would swim a lot. And my middle daughter, who's very, very slender, did not have the buoyancy that you get when you just weigh a little bit more. Or have what our physicians would call adipose tissue, which is, you know, floats. And so she was 7. She wasn't a great swimmer, but she wanted to go off the diving board. And to swim, to go off the diving board, you have to swim the whole length of the pool, which was a little bit shaky for her. And so she said, well, Daddy, I really want to go off the swimming, off the diving board. And I said, well, I'm not sure if you can swim that far. And she said, I know. I want you to be with me. She said, I want you to be with me. I said, honey, I will be with you. I'll be right on the edge of the pool. And if you get in any trouble, I will dive right in. I'll take care of you. She said, no, I want you in the water with me. And I said, but honey, you know that I can't help you at all. I mean, I can stand near you, but I can't help you. That's the picture of human helpers. I can be close to you. I can encourage you. I can be near you, but it's you. It is the antithesis of the picture of Jesus. He's the perfecter, means he is the one who has his hand under our stomach if we're going to start to sink. He's going to push us. He is the one who carries us through to the end when we can't finish the race. You know that saying, that little plaque about, you know, where'd the other footsteps go? You know that one? They were getting that from this passage. That's a popular image of this passage. Jesus carries us to the end. So for discussion, I'm just a discussion starter. There are two questions you can talk about. What is the race that the Lord marked out for you? And can you just identify what's hard or what's beautiful about the race God gave you? Just think about that a little bit. And how do I run in the race God gave me? And number two, you don't have to, you might not share this publicly, but at least examine. Somebody may say, you know, there was a sin that was slowing me down. Sin slows us down. So what's a sin I could purge so I can run with endurance? And I'll add a third, of course. You can thank the Lord for the way he is perfecting you, taking you to the end. So those are three topics. John, where'd you go? You're right there. So can you, you're going to take it from there and tell people what to do and break up in small groups or all play at once.
Yeah, we can all play.
It's going to be all play.
We're not very shy.
Okay, you're not very shy. I kind of picked that up a little bit. So, oh, let's see. I'm getting rid of the wrong microphone. That's the preaching microphone.
Now, we may not be shy, but we don't want to be speaking in front of the sanctuary. We get picked up on the wrong.
Hey, it's good to be with all of you for a little bit, and I hope you have fun. It's a great class. I know a fair number of you, and keep up the good community.
Thank you so much for being here. I really do appreciate it. Y'all, thank you. Okay, so yeah, that was such a blessing. So Jim, we had set up a speaker to come in, a guy who's going to come take Jim's place yesterday. And last night at like 8 o'clock, he texted that he was sick. So Dan was sitting there very sweetly, said, I'll come in and talk a moment. And that was great. Heard things about Romans 12 Hebrews 12 that I had not heard before. So we talked about having that as a springboard for this kind of discussion. So did y'all get the discussion questions? We're talking about the race, the difficulty that has been marked out for you. Do things come to mind right now that you're facing, and or something recently? How did you navigate that? What did you learn? I was in a group one time that was accountability group, and we started out with sin of the week. So we're not going to do that.
What was your sin of the week? It was a little too
intrusive. So what's your sin of the week? I rarely had any, but rarely said any, I can assure you. But that was a great comment about sin. That's a way bigger issue than particular sins, is what is the, I guess, besetting sin would be a way to say it, but things that weigh us down. Great thing to think about. But yes, Dave?
I've never struggled before, but it's just been weight and sin. Like there's two different things where I think Satan is very deceptive. I think there's a word I throw in there for weight is distraction.
Oh, yeah.
Satan
Right.
So things, you know, a moose crossing the path, but you know, where you weren't expecting it, you get you off.
Right. So, could y'all hear that when you speak up really loud, because we need to hear. Thank you. I definitely can relate to what you're saying. Jim, Holla?
I'm staying still here. I'd like to ask, Dan, can you tell us again about the, is he still here?
Well, yeah. One more minute.
Pilot witness. So that comment, what that was, and where did you get the, he's cleared the way, is an open path?
Yeah, the reason I say that is because there's a word to the author, the Greek word is archegos, which arche means chief, and agos means leader, and it's used of a hero, a trailblazer, a captain, somebody who leads the charge of an enemy. So it's a military term on a lot of occasions, but it basically means the person who is a foe or makes a way for others. So that's the first part. That's one of the, and Jesus is called an archegos twice in the Bible. It's not the most common, which is why you might not have heard it. And the word, the witnesses is actually a callback to all of Hebrews 11. So in Hebrews 11, that word martureo, martes, martureventes, those words appear, I think, five times. So God attested Abel, God attested Abraham. And so the word appears over and over in that passage. You're supposed to read chapter 12 in light of chapter 11, which describes all those people who had a hard time with the light that was marked out for them, you know. So Abel was slain, Abraham had to wait 25 years for a child, and so forth. It mentions those who were murdered, prophets who were murdered, were stoned, were sawn in two, remember that. So those are all the witnesses, and then they went to the end, and Jesus says, that's going to be you too. But you're not alone, because you have all these people you just heard about in chapter 11. And God carried them through, and he carried you through the same way. That's the idea.
Thank you.
If I stayed long enough, I would preach that whole sermon.
You come on. We'd love it. We'd love it. Thank you. Thanks again. Great. So, yeah, Becky?
So, for me, it would be motherhood. Now, that's the race that I've caused. And, I don't know, there are some of you know some of these two things happening right tonight. I have one child in particular that's, you know, right here. And it's been up and down, up and down, up and down. But recently something happened, it was like an explosion. And basically I was kicked out. And as painful as that is, but it's forced me to, number one, address my pride. Okay? So the pride, the sin would be pride, self-defense, and I just really had to swallow that, and I had to get this back. Just get it out of my head anyway. Thank you, Lord, for your time. And the only thing I can do is pray. And so that's what I've been doing, you know, and I'm a better prayer warrior as a result. But anyway, so that's wow. The thing going on.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it sounds like endurance, really does. Other people in there, in stories, Jim?
One step. Well, you said, I'm sorry. Those people in Hebrews 11. So, when we are called upon to endure, and it's not very easy, and we would like to not go through it, or we would like to quit. That would seem like the best thing, the best harder thing to do.
at the bottom of Hebrews 10 says, my righteous one shall live, not to live by faith, and be shrinks back. I will not be put this way. So then you have these people in Hebrews 11. And they are testifying to us. They are, if you look at it and study that chapter, they will encourage you by what they did.
Yeah.
Moses persevered because he saw him do it. So look at them. Rahab's family, Rahab's just like Noah. Rahab's family spared, only her family got saved out of Jericho. Everybody has died. Noah's family, everybody has died. Look at those.
Yeah.
And it says, don't really understand it. I'm sorry for all the people. It says, even though he is dead, he still speaks.
Wow.
Able. And so, when you persevere in the race that you walk out with people, when you're gone, don't you want your life to speak to somebody, telling something to somebody?
Yep.
And you remember, I remember Tim, how he trusted God. Able, still.
Yeah, that ties perfectly, and I've never heard that way Dan talked about. It's the difference between being cheerleaders on the side and witnesses who've actually gone through. So thank you. Perfect. Yes, Denise?
On the faith verse, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make the path straight. And I meditated on that path straight so much because if your first blush of that, you're thinking a straight path is an easy path. And that, you know, interpreting scripture is not an easy path.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think a straight path means you see the end. And Jesus. And you look at the end of our path. And so when we trust the Lord all the heart and our understanding, we will make a path straight.
Well, my translation is he shall direct your path, not make it straight. He shall direct.
Yeah, so he's the one directing which is a comfort. It's not purposeless wandering, which it feels like when you're in the middle of a certain crisis. I'm just picking up on that. That's interesting. Great stuff. Others? Any others about the path marked out for you?
Say, for Jim, you know, I always remember that verse, blessed be God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort others with the same comfort with which God comforts us. And I see Jim, how much he has suffered physically, but he's constantly encouraging the lives of everybody.
That's true. Yeah. Again, that is.
Here's the thing, yeah. Here's the thing. When we are going through this thing, that we don't want, and we see it as this huge mountain, right?
And we gotta get away from this thing. We gotta stop it. Hey, this is big mountain. We don't want to go through it. He is giving us blessings.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see them. But think how many millions of people are gonna look for Job and say, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He's given us blessings to be able to do what you just, it's not all mine. Feel the blessing. Are you giving us blessing to be able to encourage someone.
This may sound like a pride is not the word, but you have to think about it, Denise. Like you're saying, like you have to think about, Olin Stubbs talks about turning adversity into advantage. That sounds a little, you know, motivational speaker like, but he really develops it. Of course, we love Olin the way he teaches, and he's talking about that thing. Like some of you don't want adversity, but it is such an advantage in your ministry, in your encouragement and relationship with people. And so, I mean, that's just tying in exactly to what you're saying. And I remember it because of a little verbal formula. Somebody? Yes.
One day, thought of myself an autistic son. And it's been a challenge.
Can y'all hear? Okay. Make sure you speak loud enough. Yeah, thank you.
I was saying the Lord gave thought of myself a highly functional autistic son.
Wow.
And it's been a real challenge, especially as we're thinking about who to take care of them when we're not here. And just use that in my career as a part-time nursing instructor at Boston State, because several of my students have had young children who've been recently diagnosed with autism, and I've been able to give
them
some practical encouragement.
Wow. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, others. Thank you.
I'm just thinking about how well this dovetails with Ephesians 2:10 that says we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works that he prepared in advance for us to walk in them. And that path, you know, it's one thing. Like we all are, I guess I work with a lot of high school girls, a lot, you know, and they're always thinking about, what does the Lord want me to do with my life? Am I supposed to go to college? Am I supposed to go to a company? You know, whatever. And what a beautiful thought that it's not about our decision making. God is prepared. And part of that journey through you this year, I mean, John, we've watched you walk in, we don't want to think of having to have surgery and the cancer and all these thoughts and lung issues. I mean, it's been one thing after another, and then your precious mama, we don't want to think about it as good works, right?
Right.
But that is the path that God has chosen for you to walk in, and that is your work. That is a precious blessing to the rest of us as we watch each other walk in the good works that God prepared before we were born.
Wow.
And then I just think of the verse in Revelation, because I'm dramatic, and it says, you know, that he's going to give us this white stone with a name known only to him. And I just think all of those things that God calls us to walk in, whether it be Dion Bray or just raising children that aren't walking with the Lord and breaking your heart every time you turn around, whatever it is, those things are creating us to become whatever that beautiful name, that workmanship, that form that God is giving. And one day we'll see that fulfillment, you know, as we meet him face to face and we'll go, oh, that whole journey was making me do.
Oh, encouraging. Thanks. Clark?
So I'll say it this way. I think of an act where they were forced out of Jerusalem to go to the ends of the earth. And Kelly and I were at a church for many, many years. I was an elder there and clerk of the session. And we didn't have any idea that we'd be leaving the church. There was nothing there. And events happened. And we tried to speak into them. But it became clear that that was not going to work in the manner that we felt that it was that. And so we went on sabbatical and visited all the churches. Now I'm going to make a confession. Briarwood was the last church. Because, candidly, we didn't really think you needed us, in a way, for me. Because it's so big, and you have so many great teachers and great elders and great people. And so we were looking more at the local level. But then when I got here, God plants you somewhere for a reason. And some of the people in here know one of those reasons. That I got involved in some things that were parallel. for the issue there. And God was preparing that before we came. And if I had not come, obviously I wouldn't have done well, but that's how God works. You don't see around the bend. We know where the end is, but when God moves us somewhere, it's just amazing how he is prepared for us.
Amen. Glad you're here. And that you brought Kelly. Amazing. Others, this is so helpful.
The song we sang this morning keeps going through my mind. For his glory and my good. And a lot of times it doesn't feel like it's for our good, but when I walked through some of the hardest parts of my life, that has always been my prayer. And I would go back to scripture and all the places God said, he wants to do good for us. He delights in doing good for us. And I'm like, but this good doesn't feel so good right now.
Right, right.
But it's for his glory and my good. And it's him making us more like him. And, you know, to go along with Peggy's, I mean, he started the good work and he's going to finish it. And sometimes it means walking through those really hard places. Now, a lot of counselors and psychologists will say, no, you feel that pain. You've got to feel that pain. And I'm, you know, you're trying to put a band-aid on it so you feel better. And I'm like, I don't care. It's still for the glory. Am I good?
They need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Relevant. Yes, Tina.
So thinking about what is my race, I don't know. I'm the last one left in my family. So I kind of think, well, okay, the Lord must have a reason for me to still be here. And just in prayer saying, you know, well, what do you want me to do with the rest of my day? But these headaches are my inconvenience, they're my attraction. And that's a sweet friend reminded me this past week to see, you know, how God can use those headaches. So maybe there's something that he can do through that for someone else, or you know, maybe it's just flowing down to see. Maybe it's just because I get optional during the work session and just kind of, you know, get quiet. There's nothing else I can do but be quiet and just see and hear from them. And so that's been, that's refocused me, just determining what I thought about the next thing, you know, so. You know, there are things that come along, like you said, you know, that are important in school and stuff.
Yeah.
I run, you know, I'm an elementary teacher retired, so I'm used to changing activities.
Slow
down, you know.
Right. Amen. Cindy, that reminds me of you're talking about your friend who took red lights as an opportunity to pray. Oh, so yeah, these are the red lights of life. You know, you stop and you're irritated that the headaches, everybody's got the red lights in their life to see God's glory. Right. Others, we've got a few minutes. Let's speak over the chairs, maybe, but a few minutes. Yeah. All right. Well, y'all, that was very, very encouraging. And I appreciate willingness to share. So let's close in prayer. Lord, this has been an opportunity for us to, in a unique and relevant to every heart and mind sitting in here, topic and moment to think about the race that we have been given and spend so much time thinking about this shouldn't have been the one I'm on. I mean, didn't I plan better than this or live better than whatever it is? Or often it's like this cannot be the race that you had for me. But to remind ourselves, Lord, from these discussions that it is a path that you have given us and you're carrying us on it. You're involved and, it's often complicated and murky and way different than we thought it was a week ago. And, but that is such an invitation to rely on you and to get closer and deeper, fix our eyes on Jesus, the main thing, Lord. So I thank you for this morning being something, a moment to remind us all of that as we leave, Lord. Let us have this week of fixing our eyes on Jesus, helping each other do that. We're just hearing people and hear that helps me do this. It may be the best way that I do this is to hear from my friends and brothers and sisters in here. So thank you, Father. Be glorified by this discussion, by our reliance on you, by our love for your scripture. All of those things come from you. Thank you for that. We glorify you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.